And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. If you want to get in, be happy to take your call. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-ESPN. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Johnny Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed any of the stuff that you just heard, all available podcastarena.com. Go check it out. And if you're just getting home and want to keep listening to the show, there's the TuneIn Radio app. There's the ESPN Radio app. There's ESPN975.com. Plenty of ways to keep up with the show.
There you go.
So just to follow up on a couple things there with talking about Tom Herman and that report that he was going to Georgia that one of the other stations ran with. I get so upset with irresponsible reporting because there's no need for it. It's real simple to ask, where did the story come from? Like, okay, like the Switzerland horse sex story came from the New York Post.
Yeah.
So even though I know
you
it's...
You find that legit?
I find it, well, at least it's probably true.
Okay.
It's more likely to be true than, you know, Tom Herman going to South Carolina on a South Carolina website.
Okay.
And I think if you're going to write something and report something, you might want to just make sure that you're following up on where it comes from. And it's that simple. And I know it's a different world we live in, and I'm cool with it. I embrace the fact that everything's changed. But that doesn't mean we need to just go and report stuff without actually doing the homework. And it's lazy. And the worst part is, if he had gone to Georgia, he might still, by the way, he's just agreed to a new contract. They may come after him again in a week and he hadn't signed it. And then those same people are going to say, look, we were right.
Right. I mean, listen, like we were talking to with him, there's advantages to staying here. I think that, and I've been going back and forth, Fred, with this guy on Twitter who's a UH guy, obviously. But the limit, like the ceiling for what you can do here, is not as high as you can in other places.
One of the things that I kind of disagree with Stanford on, not all Power 5 jobs are created the same.
Yeah, I disagree with him
as well.
And
not all non-Power 5 jobs are created the same. And Houston, Boise, BYU, those are better jobs than South Florida.
I agree.
And you can, and I think depending on what happens, if he brings back the same team next year, and you've got a game against Oklahoma, which might be coming off a national championship for all we know, that's a pretty high-profile game. I don't think they're going to beat them. But if they did, then you're going to get a lot of attention. And that doesn't mean they're going to run the table next year because I think their schedule is going to be a lot tougher. But if you did, you'd be in that conversation if you had a win over Oklahoma, especially defending national champion.
Yeah,
that can happen at a few places. It can't happen everywhere. But it's so rare and it's such a long shot that, you know, yeah, but if you get to Georgia, you can lose a game. I don't know that you can at South Carolina. I don't know that you could lose one game.
If you lose one game and win the SEC,
maybe.
You're probably making the playoff.
I guess so. But I'm not sure that. Although, the one thing about South Carolina is it is that side of the bracket, which is pretty weak. It wouldn't take you long to turn the thing around. But
I still don't. I mean, well, so is Georgia. And yeah. Georgia's not all Georgia's, the way into the crapper.
No, and Georgia's easier to recruit to.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it makes sense for him to. And just from a pure coaching standpoint, you would like to have some of your own players in and see what you can do with those guys. And I think another year, there's going to be great jobs available again. Hell, LSU.
And if he has another year like this specifically.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, then, yeah, he's kind of gambling, but he's still getting $3 million a year.
Right.
So if they go 8-4 next year and fall backwards, then, okay, maybe he's not a hot commodity, but he's still getting paid pretty good money. Yeah. And all it takes is one more good year, and you're right back. And it's amazing how the whole coaching thing works and how you can become a hot commodity. Like Will Muschamp's name coming up again.
Yeah.
Really?
Crazy.
That was...
Well, Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin's the ultimate of that. I mean,
yeah.
There's no guy less deserving of a big-time job than him, yet he always has one.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. But a couple other things too, just from there were a lot of I've got some bowl projections here.
All right.
Which Jerry Palm, who's pretty good at this,
has, he was like the BCS guru.
Yeah, he was. And he's also really good at college basketball projections too. But here's your, and I disagree with his Fiesta Bowl, but Sugar Bowl, Baylor versus Florida.
I bet it'd be Baylor Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think you're right. Rose Bowl, Iowa versus Stanford. I think they take Ohio State to the Rose Bowl.
I think they'll take Ohio State too.
Fiesta Bowl has Ohio State versus Houston.
Notre Dame versus Houston.
I think Notre Dame versus Houston. Although Peach Bowl, they have Notre Dame versus Florida State.
Then you'd get Iowa, Iowa Houston in the Fiesta, which would be a big bummer for UH.
Yeah, it would, because because
you, if you're UH, you want to get someone who, if you beat them, people will take note. And Notre Dame, Florida State, those are wins that people would go.
Ohio State.
Yeah, those are wins that people would go, wow.
Yeah.
If you beat Iowa, people go, I told you Iowa sucked.
They were overrated, yep.
Yeah. That'd be a tough break, but if they can catch Notre Dame or Florida State in that Fiesta Bowl, that'd be good news for UH. Well, assuming they can win that game.
And, I don't know, but I just want to see him play a high-profile opponent.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'll say about Iowa is their offensive line is really good.
They are.
They're not – I don't think there's a ton of NFL-type guys on there. There's some guys who'll play.
Well, listen, Iowa guys in the NFL anyway. What do you
mean? But they play well together. They block like fiends. And that's one reason this team keeps winning games.
Yeah, they're in the conversation for best line in the country. I still think Georgia's probably got the best offensive line in the country. But Iowa's up there. They've had a really good season.
So, anyway, I mean, they're bowl games. They don't mean crap. I mean, they're going to mean something for a team like Houston to get to one of those, if they do, or Temple, either one. And they won't mean anything for the other team. But
some of the other bowls that would be notable for fans living in this area, TCU Oregon in the Alamo Bowl.
That'd
be a fun game.
That would not be a bad matchup. I kind of like that.
The Tax Slayer Bowl, Penn State LSU, is one I'm seeing here.
People are getting slain?
Just taxes.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Only taxes are being slain.
What about the Texas Bowl?
What I've seen several places is Raider v. Aggie. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, that's what I'm seeing.
Well, super interesting game.
That'd be good for them. That'd get a good crowd.
It would get a really good crowd. I don't know what kind of game it would be. I guess it.
But I don't think we're invited to be out there anymore, so I don't really care.
Oh, really? We're out?
Yeah. Remember last year?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They ditched us?
No.
So.
You remember me crying about it?
No.
No.
Me either.
I don't either.
Those are difficult shows when you're sitting out in the cold and people are running by drunk and yelling at you.
Who needs that?
Anyway. Those are about the only interesting ones.
Yeah.
And, of course, now the real issue is that there's going to be 5 and 7 teams in bowl games. Because there's 80 spots, and there's not going to be 80 teams with 6 and 6 records. So you're going to get to see some thrilling 5 and 7 teams playing bowl games.
Yeah.
Can't wait. I don't know. If it gives me something to bet on, I'm probably okay with it. Boy, some of these matchups, you're just like, ugh. I'm also seeing Virginia Tech versus LSU in the Belk Bowl.
No.
Michigan versus Ole Miss in the Citrus Bowl. I think you're right. I think Ole Miss is going to get the better of the bowl games in the SEC over Florida, because Florida's going to have 3 losses too, and they're going to be coming off a hammering against Alabama. Wanted to get back to the Texans, which I guess we're almost out of time for this segment, so I'll save it for when we get back. But just to follow up on a couple more of the coaching things, we mentioned that Justin Fuente is going to Virginia Tech.
I think it's a good job for Fuente, and I think it's a good hire for Virginia Tech. And I don't think it's a great job, but I think for what he's done there, that's a nice step.
Matt Campbell, the new Iowa State head coach, I think that's a good hire for them.
I think so, too. Unlike Virginia Tech, I really don't think there's a way to win at Iowa State.
I kind of agree with you. It's and basically what they're doing is hiring a guy who's going to bring another high-powered offense.
Yeah.
And we'll
see
if it works out.
The reality is that being in a Power 5 conference, you know, theoretically on the surface, if you win enough games, you can play for a championship there. But there are some schools that are just – you just can't win at. And every once in a while, you'll catch a coach where you can turn one of those schools around. And if you're one of those coaches, you'll make a ton of money. I'm looking at you, Art Briles, because Baylor was a school that you could have never won at, and they've turned it into something. Still haven't gotten to a championship game or even to the playoff. But
or won a bowl game.
Have made them reasonably good. But Iowa State is one of those places where I just don't see much of a chance of ever really winning consistently there.
I think it's like anything else. You get the right coach there, you can win. But
you know, Mark Mangino won at Kansas.
Yeah, and that's – but then – that
won football
used
games at Kansas.
Yeah. But
and they got greedy and fired, and they said, oh, we want to be better than this.
Uh-huh.
That's when teams make the mistake.
And that's why I'm glad LSU did not do that with Les Miles, because I'm not so sure that there was a better option out there. And, yeah, make him go get an offensive coordinator and do what Bob Stoops did this year when he went and got Lincoln Riley. Let's go get a guy who's going to open it up. And
someone asked me how long the leash on Kingsbury is at Texas Tech. And I said, it's long, because they see what happens when a guy, like, if you think they're not good enough and you get rid of the guy, Mike Leach, you see what you can turn into. You know, Texas Tech fired the best coach they were ever going to get. They fired the perfect fit for them, and they fell into the crapper. And they're still trying to claw their way out of it. Kingsbury's as good as you're going to get there. I mean, right now, you got to, unless somebody just comes out of the woodwork, and you know, but you're not going to find he's an alumni.
Tuberville left you for Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's got the right coaching tree. I mean,
but a 7-win season, pretty much make a bowl game every year. I don't want to say that's the best you can hope for,
but that's a realistic expectation.
It is, and that's what they are. They're 7-5. They're going to make another bowl game. And
if you want those 11-win seasons that you got with Mike Leach, you should have kept Mike Leach, because that was the only guy who could do that.
And they could get on a roll one year and have one season like that again, but it's going to happen once every 15 years. I think realistically that's what you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? You got to win over Texas. You got to win over Kansas State. And some pretty decent wins. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780. ESPN is your number if you want to get in. And I think it was Lamont earlier asked, Is it time to put J.J. Watt back into the MVP conversation? I think the big difference between this year and last year, he had all those offensive touchdowns, and that's one of the things that...
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it has really nothing to do with anything, difference. But it boosted it. I would say the same thing I said last year. If the team makes the playoffs and he puts up ridiculous numbers again, which he's on pace to do, then he'll be in the conversation. But I also think if the Panthers go unbeaten, it's going to be hard not to give it to Cam Newton. It's going to be hard not to...
Tom Brady, it's going to be hard. And yeah, the other guy, Luke Kuechly, maybe the only defensive player you can put in the conversation with J.J. Watt, and he plays on an undefeated team.
Yeah, and my goodness, he was just tormenting Tony Romo the other day. That was brutal. But no, I think he's it's not as flashy as last year, but he's having a really good season. He's playing better each week, and I think you're – you know, I don't think it's impossible if they, but they're going to have to do something like win two of the next three. I think something like that. They're going to have to beat the Bills and the Colts and win the division for him to get that kind of attention. And
if you know what would help him get some votes? Taking out Tom Brady. Finishing his season.
Finish him. Yeah, I could see people liking that. But, no, I mean, I don't think it's a ridiculous question at all, and I think it's it'll be very interesting to me to see what happens, because this team has been so different than what we saw at the start of the season that I'm not really sure what to expect anymore, because if they show up and play defense the way they've played the last 4 weeks, they could go in and beat Buffalo. If you can go in and beat Cincinnati, it's not going to surprise me if they go in and beat Buffalo, but I just can't imagine that team's going to keep showing up every single week. And at some point they can't. They've got to have some kind of a letdown, right?
Yeah.
It's just natural. But it hasn't happened yet. And I think I keep looking at each game and saying, boy, that was their best game of the year. And, you know, when they go in and they beat the Bengals, okay, that was their best game of the year. Then they beat the Jets.
Set the bar pretty low.
Well, yeah.
I mean, up until that Bengals game.
Their best game of the year before that was probably Jacksonville.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I still think the Bengals game is their best game of the year because even though offensively they weren't that good, they did it against a legitimately good team.
They were down to yet another quarterback, too.
Right.
And that had something to do with the offensive problems. But
so I give them a lot of credit for that one. It was on the road, which that doubles whatever you think of it to begin with. It was against one of the two or three best teams in the conference. You did it with a backup quarterback. I mean, everything fell into place that day. That's a great win. The Saints is one of those games that if they'd lost this game, I'd be really concerned because you shouldn't lose to teams like the Saints if you want to make the playoffs.
No, and they were never really in doubt of that. I mean, nope. They actually came out fast. They got the quick 14 points, and the way the defense is playing, that was going to be enough. And you know that they did what they're supposed to do against a team they're better than. And you know now, as you said earlier in the show, you're playing your peers this week. This is a team you're in a wild card battle with. You need to win. You've got one in your corner with the win over the Jets. Because that's one of those teams that you're going to be fighting for that position with. And you've already lost one to the Chiefs. So if you're going to be in the wild card hunt, this is a game you need to win. And I think you'd say the same thing about the Bills, though.
Yeah. Well, the Bills, I mean, this is a must-win for the Bills, I think. Although their remaining schedule, Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys, Jets, I mean, they've got a lot of games they can win, too. But I mean, I think it's very difficult if you go 5-7 to dig out of that hole. And
you basically have to win your last four.
The Bills have lost two games in a row and two games that really they could have won against teams that look like they're better than them. You know, at the Chiefs and at the Patriots. If you win one of those games, you're riding high. This is a must-win game for the Bills, even more so than the Texans, I think.
Yeah, I still think going back to last week, I said if the Texans go 4-2 and one of those wins is at Indy, they'll make the playoffs. And I think the two could easily be Buffalo and New England.
Yeah.
But they're going to win the last two games, so that game at Indy is going to be critical. Double down, talking about the MVP conversation, says Carson Palmer has to be in the debate, too.
I think so, yeah. Too, man.
Yeah, I've been including him all year.
You know what? Nobody else seems to want to put him in there besides Fred and I, but that guy, I think there's a reason why Arizona this year looks like a Super Bowl contender, and it's because they've had a healthy Carson Palmer all season long.
Yeah, and that guy makes a difference for that team, and if you go back to last year, it's amazing that they even made the playoffs with the crap they were having to trot out a quarterback. And it's a credit to that coaching staff. 713-780-ESPN. 832. What do you expect of the NFC East? Giants still? Oof, I still think they're the best team.
I give up guessing. Yeah, they are the best team.
But I think what we're seeing is because there's so many, I don't want to say, well, I've been saying bad football, so I'm not going to run from that. We're seeing so many teams that just aren't very good that almost anything can happen in some of these. And the Giants, to me, are the best team in that division.
They've got the best quarterback. They've got the best coach.
But they don't play like it.
They don't.
And, you know, they lost all those games early. And now, I mean, that was just a crap performance yesterday. It's an absolute crap performance.
And if they won that game, they're kind of coasting.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah.
I look at the Redskins and I can't take them seriously. But
here's what I will say, though. There are a couple teams that are kind of teetering on whether or not they'll make the playoffs or not. The Giants are one of them. And I think the Seahawks are one.
Yeah.
That if they do make the playoffs, you're not going to want to see them.
No, you know, because
nobody wants to see those teams in the playoffs.
Well, and especially once playoff Eli shows up.
Yeah.
You want no part of that.
No.
But the way the race is now, and in the NFC, if the season ended today, you know who'd be out?
In the NFC?
In the NFC.
I don't know.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be the 7
seed. Packers and Seahawks would be ahead of them.
Yeah. And right now, the matchups would be Seahawks at Vikings and Packers at Redskins.
But that's good because of those teams, the Falcons are the ones that aren't deserving to be there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a team that their start was so great and everything was put in place for that team to win. And they have just found a way to lose so many games. I don't feel bad for them.
Would you agree 5-6 is still in the hunt, theoretically?
Well,
because you're only a game behind.
6-5 is in the playoffs, so 5-6 is definitely in the hunt.
So here's your 5-6 teams in the NFC. Buccaneers. I don't think so. Giants.
They have
still
a good
chance. Win the division.
Yeah, for the same reason the Texans are still taken very seriously because
they're
in the division race. I think the Bears, it's going to be tough because of the division they play in. There's no free squares for the Bears. But I don't know. Like I said earlier, that team is playing really, really well right now. And their remaining schedule, Niners, Redskins, Vikings, Bucks, Lions, those are all winnable games.
Yeah.
All winnable games. You've gotten your Packers games out of the way. They had to play the Cardinals and the Seahawks. They got those out of the way. Of course, they were losses, but they got them out of the way. I think that Packers win breathes new life into them because that's a game that no one – at Green Bay, no one had them penciled down to win that game. No one.
No.
And they won it. Now they get the Redskins – the 49ers, which is at home. That's almost an automatic 6-6. And from there, who knows what will happen.
All right. We're going to take a quick break.
I think they'll be under – the Bears will be underdogs in one more game this year at Minnesota.
Yeah.
They'll be favored at home against the Niners and the Redskins. They'll be favored at Tampa, and they'll be favored at home against the Lions.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Kobe Bryant.
You going to miss him?
I'll tell you when we come back.
All right.
It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
There's nothing I love more than be able to play this entire season, to go through all of these tough times, to be able to suit up and play on the road and play in these buildings for the last time. I'm looking forward to that. Honestly, in sitting and meditation for me, my mind starts drifting. It always drifted towards basketball, always. Always. Yeah, it doesn't do that now. It does that sometimes. It doesn't do that all the time. And to me, that was really the first indicator that, this game is not something that I can obsess over. There's beauty in that. I mean, it's going through the cycle. I mean, it's the cycle. It's the natural progression of growth and maturation. I mean, it's there's no sadness in that.
And we are back on the Blitz. It's Kobe Bryant. You gonna miss him?
I've never been a Kobe fan, but I mean he's easily one of the best players I've ever seen play. But I mean at this point, we haven't seen that Kobe in so long.
Yeah, he doesn't exist anymore, and he hasn't for a while.
It's just kind of a bummer that he waited this long to do it. You know. Yeah. It's one of those things where you kind of hang around longer than you should, and it's...
And 10 years from now, nobody will remember that, just like nobody remembers, Hakeem Olajuwon as a Raptor.
Yeah.
Or Michael Jordan as a, was in Washington. I mean, it's the kind of thing that we'll forget that he hung around way too long, but he did.
Well, and it's hard to blame him because I think...
He's getting $30 million.
I may be mistaken, but I think he's the highest paid player in the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm. He's going to make that bank.
But... It's like, God, at some point, you just want to see these guys, you want to see them go out like John Elway. And it's so rare that it happens. But when it does, it's a great story. It's a bummer to see Kobe going out like this and going out and not being Kobe Bryant anymore. But that happens to everybody, man. And we talked about Peyton Manning and Drew Brees.
Perfect example. Drew Brees now, too. I mean, how long do you hang on?
But that said, if Peyton Manning wins a Super Bowl this year, we all have egg on our face. Kobe Bryant has zero chance to win an NBA title this year. I mean, zero. You know, so at least Peyton Manning's playing on a team where...
You know it'd be worse? Peyton Manning sitting on the bench while Brock Osweiler's leading the team to the Super
Bowl.
That
would be rough.
And
that'd be rough.
But do you see what Kevin Durant came out and said?
No.
Said, I did idolize Kobe Bryant. I studied him, wanted to be like him. He was our Michael Jordan. I watched Michael toward the end of his career with the Wizards, and I seen that's what Kobe emerged as the guy for us. I've been disappointed this year because you guys in the media treated him like bleep.
No, he's playing like bleep.
He's a legend, and all I hear about is how bad he's playing, how bad he's shooting. Time for him to hang it up.
Yes.
You guys treated one of our legends like bleep, and I don't really like it.
Well, I don't care. That's
truth is, he has been garbage.
Yeah, I mean,
he has hung on too long. That's not treating someone like bleep. That's just being honest.
Yeah, I'd love to say something different, but that's the reality. Is the guy is no longer a great player. And had Kobe Bryant retired 2 years ago, this wouldn't be happening right now. But Kobe Bryant chose to go out there as a much lesser version of himself and take the money. When you do that, you leave yourself open to what's happening to him now in the media or whatever Kevin Durant's talking about. And I really don't think people are being hard on Kobe Bryant.
And now they're going to spank his critter for the rest of the season, and it's going to be this love fest, even though he's still garbage. And this whole let's group the media into one thing and it's all the media, that's just – it's so weak. And it's so pathetic to just say, oh, well, all these guys are out to get him.
I think there's been a couple guys recently who got out before it was too late. I'm looking at, like, Derek Jeter. He didn't go out as Derek Jeter, but had he gone out after his first, like, after the when he hurt himself in 2013, it would have been kind of an ugly way to go out.
Yeah.
He came back and had a respectable showing in 2014. Mariano Rivera went out on top. He was still the best closer in the game when he left.
Yeah.
It's just so rare, though. And I would have loved to see it for Kobe.
Sean mentions Michael Strahan went out pretty well.
Yeah. Well, he also had a job waiting that pays him more money. You know, and that's not the case for everybody. But you have to make that choice at some point if it's worth your legacy. And, God, think about it. Allen Iverson was still trying to get onto teams 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's the only one. And, by the way, those two guys are the same draft class. It's just that Kobe put himself – his play was at a level – that there's zero chance Kobe today could have matched, but he decided to go out there and do it anyway. And, you know, if he really thought that he could make the team better, then I can't blame him. But as it looks right now, I think this team would be a lot better if Kobe Bryant wasn't on the floor.
No, but they're not going to be any good whether he's there or not.
No, they're not. But he's hurting them.
He is.
His percentages are just ridiculously bad. Ridiculously. Like, they make James Harden look like he's an MVP candidate again. That's what it's like right now. But he's getting paid.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
30% from the field right now, Kobe is.
Just brutal. That's brutal.
Oh.
Dre mentions, as MJ did put up 24.5 points per game in his second to last year and 20 in his final season at age 38 and 39. He also had career low shooting percentages those 2 years, too. So he could still play, but he wasn't, he wasn't Michael anymore.
Listen, Kobe wishes that he was playing like Michael his last year. This is way worse. This is way worse.
Mont says, I think Brady has a chance to go out on top. If he wins another Super Bowl.
Damn, Brady's almost 40 and he looks like he's better than he's ever been.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned the Admiral went out at the right time.
Yeah.
Now, that's a guy who had a really good career and wasn't falling apart when he left.
No, and he could have maybe played another year and still looked good for it.
Probably so. But, I mean, it is. Yeah, Panda mentions Tim Duncan could do that.
Yeah.
I wonder. I mean, he's taken such good care of himself. He's one of the few big men that hasn't broken down. But... Yeah, it's at some point it catches up to you. It's got to with him, right? He's fundamentally sound.
I would guess this is his last year, and he's different because Tim Duncan's never gotten by on his athleticism. It's never been a huge part of his game because he's never been like a freakishly good athlete. Kobe Bryant has always been one of the best athletes on the floor, and now he's not. You know? And, you know, I don't know. There's some other guy. Like, I think back to Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal probably should have retired. Maybe he could have done that year in Phoenix. Maybe.
Maybe.
But then Cleveland Shaq and Celtics Shaq, that should have never happened.
But again, by now, most people don't even remember that, though. You think of Shaq as the monster that he was when he was winning titles.
And you think of Magic, Lakers, Heat, Shaq, that's it.
Yeah. And I think that's what most people think of. They don't. And that happens with all these guys. Wow. It's one of those that, you know, as time goes on, you forget what they were at the end.
I'm trying to look up the amount of money that Shaq made for those last 3 years that he probably shouldn't have paid. Oh, here it is. He made in his second year in Phoenix, his year in Cleveland, and his year in Boston, he made $42.3 million.
Maybe it wasn't such a bad idea for him to hang around.
I can't blame him. His second year in Phoenix was the fourth highest paying season of his career.
Wow.
He made more money in Phoenix than he did in his 4 years in Orlando combined. His second year in Phoenix, he made more than his 4 years in Orlando combined. That's crazy.
Texter says if Howard would have retired last year, he would have left a champion.
Would have left out on top.
Yep. He would have been a champion. He'll always be a champion.
Zing.
You guys are on it today.
James Harden could have retired last year at the top of his game. Could have married into Kardashian money and just lived the dream.
Well,
like Lamar Odom's doing.
There you go. Yeah, that's kind of how you want the end to go for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about my good friends out at Two Below's. And if you're looking for a place to go watch that game tonight, want it set up where you're going to be able to see it no matter where you're sitting. You want some great food. You want some drink specials. You want a great time. Go see my friend Chip and the gang up at Two Below's, 2907 Rayford Road. And we're out there a lot. Love going up to Two Below's. It is my favorite place on the north side. Just a great sports bar atmosphere. Very cool place to sit and chill. And you can take the kids if you want. If you don't want to take the kids, that's cool too. But they got a great menu. And the food there is not your typical bar food. This is really, really good, well-crafted food that you're going to enjoy. They got a great beer selection as well. All the drinks you want, all right there at Two Below's. You want to go watch the Rockets? See if they can start winning some games? Two Below's is your place. You want to watch football on Saturday? Two Below's. How about Sunday? NFL, all day long. Two Below's takes care of you. Go watch your Texans there. Go watch your Rockets. You will have a great time. Go check them out. If you want some information on where to host your holiday event, give them a call, 281-292-3600, or visit them at tubelows.com. That's Two Below's, 2907 Rayford Road, Spring, Texas, tubelows.com.
All right, guys, got to tell you about dirt-free cleaning. The holidays are here. Your carpets, rugs, upholstery, are they ready for the busy season? They can be. Host with confidence by having clean floors. Put your trust in dirt-free cleaning. Houston's leading home cleaning experts. I've used dirt-free for a long time. I used them in Houston. I used them in Austin when I was there. They're the best in the game because they've got the best technology in the game. They're not using soaps or chemicals like the old school guys. That stuff can damage your carpet fibers. They're using a non-toxic patented pre-spray along with their super water, and it gives you amazing results. And it's not just carpet. They'll do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, with their unique patented technology. They've got Sunday service available now, so 7 days a week they're there to help you get it looking nice. Get a free room cleaned with a free speed dry with any purchase when you donate a new Toys for Tots toy. It's 'tis the season for giving in a clean home, and a clean home always begins with that light, brand-new look and feel of clean carpets. And now it's even cheaper when you donate a new toy for Toys for Tots. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit Dirt Free online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Cleaning.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back to catch up on our shows, to stay up to date on station events, news stories, contests, and more. Log on to ESPN975.com. Coming up next, Soccer Matters with our good buddy Glenn Davis, 7 o'clock. Texter said Barry Sanders retired in his prime.
He did.
Barry Sanders probably went away too soon, though.
Yeah, he actually retired in his prime.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal.
No, no.
You want to milk it, but you just don't want to go too far.
Because I think that's a guy who might have been the greatest running back ever, and it's hard to put him in that conversation just because the pure numbers were, didn't quite get him there.
Yeah.
And God knows what he would have done if he'd have kept playing.
I don't know who I would who I'd take over him. I mean, I think that he's very much in that conversation.
All right, let's do a dumbass report.
Let's do it. Let's start with, listen, I know a lot of people don't trust banks. A Chinese man, a fisherman named Poor Wu Chin.
Poor Wu Chin?
He's extra poor now because he didn't trust the banks. Instead of putting his savings into a bank, he buried it. He's getting old.
Why do people keep doing this stuff?
He's getting old, 67 years old.
It's ancient.
So he dug it up, and he discovered that the plastic bag had deteriorated and worms and insects had eaten through most of his cash. Fortunately, his local bank, which he didn't trust to hold his savings in the first place, has come to the rescue, swapping the notes that are in good enough condition for fresh ones, totaling a little more than half of his money. So they're helping him out, even though he didn't trust him to begin with. Don't bury your money, though, guys. Invest it. Do something. Don't bury it in the ground. A burglar who became stuck in a chimney in Central California died after the unsuspecting homeowner lit a fire. The incident occurred at around 3 p.m., and firefighters who were responding to the home found a man stuck in the chimney but apparently still breathing. But the man, who was not immediately identified, was dead when firefighters broke into the chimney. The sheriff's office said when the homeowner lit the fire, he heard a man yell from inside the chimney, and the house began filling with smoke. The homeowner put out the fire, and firefighters were called. The sheriff's office said its investigation indicates that the man tried to enter the home through the chimney overnight and got stuck, and the homeowner, who was away and returned Saturday, didn't know anyone was hiding inside until lighting the fire. I've been a deputy for almost 17 years now, and I've never seen anything quite like this, Fresno County Deputy Jake Jensen told the NBC affiliate. The Fresno County coroner will determine the man's cause of death. I'll go on a limb and say smoke inhalation, high on the suspects there. We've been talking about donating toys for tots.
Yeah.
You've talked about donating your car. A lot of things you can donate. Typically not a great thing to donate. Live grenades. A live grenade was found among donated items at a Goodwill store in Winfield, Kansas. Processors at the store discovered the grenade as they went through items that were part of a large donation. The store remained closed for about 4 hours after workers evacuated and called police. The bomb squad came in and removed the device. The grenade was determined to be live with explosive material inside of it. It was safely removed, detonated, and disposed of. Goodwill does not track its donations, therefore the origins of the donation are unknown. But anyone making a donation should make arrangements with law enforcement to dispose of any item that appears to be ammunition, is their statement. So thanks. So in case that was intentionally donated.
Can we donate one that's going to blow up to ISIS?
I don't think they're accepting donations at this time.
Oh, okay.
And finally, I'm so glad my kids don't act a fool in restaurants, but there's sometimes kids just scream. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Katie Leach from Idaho, her 10-month son, was screaming throughout a meal at a Texas Roadhouse. It was so bad, apparently, the diners at the table next to them took notice and penned a note and dropped it off at her table. The message read, "Thank you for ruining our dinner with your screaming kid. Sincerely, the table behind you." Leach was so shocked to see the note, she shared it with the local news outlet along with a detailed account of what had happened. She wrote in part, "His new thing is yelling. I'm doing my best to teach him his indoor voice and not to yell back when he's yelling. But he's only 11 months old and learning. We all tried quieting him down, which a majority of the time he did, but he was also excited to be around all the commotion. The mother also said she alerted the manager to the situation, and he asked the note-writing guests to leave after they'd finished their meal. While responses to her post were largely supportive, other parents in similar situations have received mixed reactions on social media. So the person who wrote the note kicked out of the restaurant instead of the screaming kid. I'm going to firmly side with the note writers over the screaming kid.
Yeah, I am too, and I would just not go back to that place.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's your dumbass report, Fred.
So I've got a little quiz for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some numbers, and you tell me which one of these or which two of these three you'd like to have. Three wide receivers.
Okay.
Player one, 33 catches, 499 yards, three touchdowns.
Hold on. How many catches?
33.
Okay.
499, three.
Okay.
Player two, 34 catches, 384 yards, two touchdowns, 47 yards rushing, and a touchdown pass.
Okay.
Player three, 26 for 323 and three touchdowns.
I mean, the production is almost, it's almost equal, isn't it?
Between the first two, yeah. The third guy has got
he's a little
eight
behind.
Fewer catches.
Yeah.
Way behind on yardage. He does have three touchdowns.
I mean, like I said, one and two, you might as well flip a coin, at least with what they've done.
Well, number one is Nate Washington, 33 catches, 499 yards,
by the way,
three touchdowns.
He was wide open so many times yesterday, and Hoyer couldn't find him. I don't know what was going on, but that guy was running open a lot.
Number two, Cecil Shorts, 34 for 384, two touchdowns.
I figured that was him with the touchdown pass.
Touchdown pass and 47 yards rushing in addition. The third guy, Andre Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I'm not going to blame it on quarterback either, because I've watched that team enough to know Andre, the reason he's not getting on the field is because when he's on the field, he's not getting separation. He's not able to get open. That's one of the few smart moves the Texans have made, smart personnel moves that they've made in recent history, is letting that guy walk.
You know what he looks like is Eric Moulds at the end of his career. Yep. When he came here. He's still big and he can still catch the ball if you get it to him. But he can't get open,
No. And
he just looks slow.
It's sad.
It is, but happens to everybody. Talking about guys who could have left at a better time. All right, we are going to call it a show. We'll be back tomorrow. We got lots of great stuff for you. Great job, John Lee. Great job, AJ Hoffman. Okay job, me. Till tomorrow, stay sportsy, bitches.